and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
Honestly, I've been having a pretty bad weekend, especially during the whole Summons Bad Witch. Oh, God. RNG is cruel to me this week. But thankfully, we had a nice little interesting surprise the Wreck Witch. Mario always helps out, Xayla. Mario always helps us out. Yes, they do.
Well, at times. At times. So, and Tellius Tyler here as well. He's back.
I am back. Yes, good week off. Much needed. Thank you guys for holding down the fort. This was an exciting week. This was exciting. I very much enjoyed what we saw. It was great to get some big announcements, and I'm excited to dive into it.
Okay, now before we do that, Tyler.
Yes.
Did you listen to the podcast last week?
Did I listen to the podcast last week, should I have listened to the podcast last week? So I didn't. Okay. I didn't, but I assumed I was getting roasted, so why would I, you know?
Well, okay, well, then in that case, we have to square away some unfinished business.
I know.
Because you and Will lost the Splatfest.
Oh, yeah.
Because the chicken came before the egg. So, behold, I have just put egg on your face.
Okay, that was a good one.
Are you really going to use that same joke twice in two podcasts in a row? Come on.
I would use other jokes, but I'm too chicken.
That was good. I am coming back for a vengeance on the Mario Bros. Splatfest, although I don't know which side I'm on. I am ordering a mushroom t-shirt, though, for sure.
All right.
I thought you were about to say mushroom pizza for a second.
If he wants. Yeah. I won't judge him on that. What would be the rival in a Splatfest with mushroom pizza? Would it be like pepperoni?
I think it'd have to be pepperoni.
It'd have to be pepperoni, yeah.
Probably pepperoni, yeah.
All right, but getting back on track. Yes, we had a surprise Nintendo Direct again. This is becoming a theme, and not one I'm sure whether I like or not. But in this case, it is the long-rumored Mario 35th Anniversary Direct that we've been hinted at for like months now, well before the pandemic even. And so we're going to get right into this with some direct talk. All right, so we're going to just do what we always do. We're going to break it down step by step because there was honestly a lot of Nintendo news, including the reveal that we are going to get a Switch port of Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, which appears to be like extra DLC levels, kind of like Mario or Luigi Once Upon a Time. So, I'm kind of two minds on this, because on one hand, 3D World was a great game. I got it on the Wii U. I really enjoyed it. I thought the level design was superb, especially with the pipes and the cat suit, and then the bells were, or sorry, the double cherry were good, nice little additions to everything. Do we really need to get another Switch port, and one that's coming in 2021, and they go, oh, but it's got Bowser's Fury? Yeah, but, like, is it really going to add a lot?
Right.
I'm not really sure. I mean, we didn't even get much of a tease. All it was is that we're on, like, some kind of a cat island, and it's raining.
It's spooky. It's very spooky.
Yeah. So, like, that's honestly it, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of the running trend with a lot of the Wii U ports. Like, with, like, Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker, like, they have the new levels, bring it to Switch, but, like, it really is, like, up to, like, the consumer. Like, if they haven't actually bought the game on the Wii U originally, then of course you would definitely get this game. But however, some people have bought the original Wii U versions. I mean, heck, I still remember doing the perfect run for all four, five characters, which, that thing was a nightmare. So do I really want to succumb myself to the nightmare again of doing the perfect run? And of course, like, that's kind of the one thing in my mind. And regarding to Bowser's Fury, that's the thing. Like, again, it's just a tease of what is to come. Like, yeah, it's dark, spooky, rainy, with a whole lot of the cat sphinx statues, which is very reminiscent to that Game Boy game. So I don't know. It just really feels like, is that extra content really worthy enough to double dip again? But personally, for me, like, they gotta show up much more on Bowser's Fury if that content's like worth that double dip. But personally, for me right now, I'm kind of like saying, nah, not really pulling me in right now.
See, I'm the opposite. I think 3D World is one of the best Mario games ever made. And oh. I am definitely double dipping. And when you called completing it a nightmare with five characters, I actually had a complete blast doing that. I did most of it with friends, but I would go back and pick up the levels and we'd switch characters. It'd always be, oh, I gotta do this one as Mario, because there was only three of us playing this day. And we know we were Peach, Toad, and Luigi. So yeah, I'm actually very excited for this. The Bowser's Fury looked great. My takeaway from this is, wow, I am really old. Because this game came out in 2013. 3D World came really? Out in 2013. I feel like that was yesterday. Yeah. Captain Toad Taylor, friend of the show, will always tell the story of us sneaking over to his house in like this blizzard to play this game at 2 in the morning. And it really is one of my all-time favorite gaming memories. I probably used it on a Temple of Time at some point. I have nothing but fondness for this game, and I'm excited that it's kind of getting its own thing rather than being a part of, you know, the other collections that we'll be talking about shortly. This was great to me. Bowser Fury, I believe, will be worth it.
Well, we'll find out, but I just like, when I see this, I think of the Mario and Luigi remakes that they did on the 3DS, and like, it was like, oh, and Bowser's Minions and Bowser Jr.'s Tale, and it's just like, am I really going to get this just for that slight extra content? And I honestly didn't get either of those. And, like, I'm sure some will, like Tyler, and that's fine. But again, here's the other thing. 2021. Like, another Switch port in another year of another Wii U game. It's almost getting too much to me.
No, that's a good point. I think that if they didn't do the Pikmin 3 Deluxe announcement,
Yes. Maybe
things feel a little bit different. Also, I mean, it's coming out in February, which is usually a pretty dead month.
True.
So, you know, if it's this or nothing, I'll take this, you know?
This is true. We'll see how it goes. Oh, yeah, I forgot that the true start of the Direct was the return of Game & Watch.
Yes,
because we're going to be getting the special Super Mario Brothers 35th Anniversary Edition of the Game & Watch system. It's an actual system that, much like the days of old, and you'll be able to play the original Super Mario Brothers game. And it also serves as a clock, and it has some hidden features that you can enjoy and test out for yourself. It'll be coming out this November, so be on the lookout for that. Like that was something right there. Like, wow.
Yeah, personally for me, I'm definitely going to get this collectible. Like, I never actually, like, even, yeah, there's, like, I think the Game & Watch was before my time. So, like, to finally see this thing, like, coming back again with, and of course, again, double as a clock, with all these different features, anything. I mean, if you love Mario, obviously, this thing is definitely an item you want to get. Because, like, it was the other thing. But I know, like, collectors will definitely get these. I think, like, last I checked on the manual's retail price, I think it's, like, going at $70 right now on pre-order sites right now. So, overall, like, it seems to be pretty good. I mean, again, classic Mario games and everything else, it seems very worth the value. I mean, especially if you're a Mario fan.
Yeah, this is the type of thing that I love in a 35th, in an anniversary celebration. It's a really cool collectible with actual practical value. It's one that I think I'll buy for sure, and I'll be torn of whether should I open it and use it, or should I just keep it in the box as a collector's item. I'd probably rather just display it and get some entertainment out of it, but I'm sure it'll be valuable one day. I thought this was one of the coolest things in the presentation.
Agreed.
Because the lost levels are in there as well. Love that. Yes. My only thing is I wish that they went further. I wish that they added Mario Bros. 2 and Mario Bros. 3 to either this version of it, or even if they released multiple Game & Watches, because I would definitely buy those.
Yeah, it's definitely like a blast from the past. And to answer Will's question, yes, it was before you were born, because the Game & Watch preceded the Game Boy. And I got the Game Boy when I was 4. So, yeah, I'm older than Will. But
I was born in '90s, so like I actually did own the original Game Boy, but I never did have the Game & Watch.
Yeah, the Game & Watch was made by Gunpei Yokoi, who would go on to make the Game Boy, and it's why Game & Watch is in Smash Brothers, because it's on system characters for a long time. So yeah, it's something special, and to go like this retro, and we've seen Nintendo go retro with the NES and SNES minis. But, like, this is just a whole nother level, so that's pretty cool. Won't lie. Alright, so let's see. After that, we had Oh yeah. Super Mario Battle Royale. Because why the heck not at this point? Alright. Like they have battle royalized almost everything that you can battle royalize, and sure enough, here's Super Mario with it. It's gonna be in honor of the 35th anniversary, you'll be able to play against 34 other characters. And you'll be playing the Super Mario levels and trying to clear it, kill enemies, and trip up your opponent so that you are indeed the last Mario standing. So it's basically like Tetris 99. It's just Super Mario 35.
It's definitely, I mean, it's so simple. A lot of people are saying, like, it's basically the next logical idea with current trends right now with Battle Royales, but just add Mario to it. But again, you know what to expect that Nintendo would do such a thing, but here it is. They Nintendo did the logical step, and like it's the most surprising thing ever, which is kind of the ironic part. So yeah, this concept of Mario Battle Royale, it's something. Like
yeah.
to basically go through the levels while basically killing enemies while screwing your other opponents as well. But it's a very interesting concept, especially with the classic levels. The only thing I, of course, naturally worry about is the online Nintendo service online, which, of course, it's spotty at best. But again, Tetris 99 has been very good for the most part. So
yeah, I never had a problem with Tetris.
Mm-mm-mm. So hopefully, like, yeah, with just the 35 player limit, then hopefully that was just that the service will, the play will run no problem. So here's hoping. And plus, we're just dealing with the classic Mario levels right now, like the old 8-bits. So perhaps it will run easier that way. Who knows?
Now, to be clear, just before I let Tyler go on, it's going to be available on October 1st. But then it's only going to be available on Nintendo Switch Online. You don't have to pay for it, but you have to pay for the service. So you're paying for online, then you get the game for free, basically. And it's only going to be available until March 31st of next year, which is a bit odd.
It's really odd. I honestly, I think we should just talk about that at the end, because that's also a factor for the 3D collection that, you know, we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Because that really colors, that is like the what's it called? Elephant in the room on this one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just really an odd thing, but we'll discuss that. I think we should just have a full thing on that.
All right. But what did you think of the Battle Royale element, Tyler?
Really cool idea. I'm a little less high on it than other people are, only because, well, two reasons. One, much like with the Game & Watches, I wish they went further and added Mario Bros. At least three for this one. I could see how two maybe would be difficult. Also, at the same time, I could see how two might be the best, given how it's really about, you know, killing enemies, and it's a kind of different type of game. And I wonder how they're going to balance it, because when I played the original Mario Bros., I've done that so many times that it's really just hold the run button, hold right, and jump. And like seeing those enemies kind of drop in on the screen, I could see it being frustrating if you're just like jumping and an enemy falls and hits you on the head and you're small and you lose. So I'm curious to see how they'll balance it. And at the same time, you could have the other problem where people are too good at the original Mario Bros. And you're playing the whole game trying to knock out one other guy, and it, you know, could be a problem as well.
I don't know how much I'll be playing this. I mean, the only reason I don't play Tetris anymore is just because I keep forgetting about it. But I would go back to Tetris in a heartbeat. I'm not sure I would want to play this in a heartbeat. And unlike Tetris, I feel like there's a lot. It's gonna be a lot more chaos in a Mario game, because you're doing various things like killing enemies and sending them over the screens. And I'm not sure how that would work. But if Nintendo thinks it'll work, then it's fine. And again, you're not paying for the game; you're paying for the online. So take that as you will. All right, now let's go to arguably one of their more unique things that they showed. Mario Kart Live Home Edition. Okay. So basically, you're going to get like actual Mario Kart RCs put in your house, and you'll be able to set up a track in your home, and then you'll drive the car via your Switch, and through a camera on the car, you'll be able to look at it as if you were driving actual Mario Kart in your home. So just on a technological level, that's pretty impressive. I mean, and as they showed in the trailer, you'll actually you'll see Mario, not your Mario Kart per se. And so like he's interacting, he's getting hit with things. The car will react to getting hit by things like shells and lightning and ink and all that, and being frozen. And then if you have like a second, if you could do two player, because you got Mario and Luigi, obviously. So your opponent's car will stop if you hit them, and You'll have objectives like to get through the gates and all that. Like, this is just, it feels, it's a perfectly Nintendo thing. Like, I could see the other companies doing this, but only with Nintendo, I feel like, would you actually get the desire to buy this thing.
Like, again, reminder, Nintendo is originally a toy company, so it would just really, it just makes a whole lot of sense they make more toys for Mario licenses. And yeah, how they pretty much also incorporate like some things they learned from augmented reality. Like, you remember those AR cards back on the 3DS earlier in the year when they first came out? And yeah, just incorporating AR technology into Mario Kart, like, it works. I mean, I could definitely see, like, definitely younger audiences, like, making their own tracks. Like, again, you can literally, like, make your own track, like, just paint, like to pour paint on Mario and then just basically draw the track as long as you're going through the four gates, which, again, creativity is there. And just, like, if as long as you got the house space for it, then, yeah, I can see this thing work very well as a great toy. And just, like, I can only imagine, like, most likely they're going to bring in more cards, like, with, I don't know, Peach, Bowser, all these different things. Because right now it's only Mario and Luigi, but this thing, it feels very exciting. Like, if I was younger, I would definitely be very excited.
Sorry, I was on mute. I started talking. No, this idea is fantastic. I thought this was one of the most underrated things they showed. It's classic Nintendo creativity, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, actually, with, is Nintendo doing enough with the Switch's hardware? This is a really creative use of it. It is cool to see them kind of bringing back the AR. The carts look great as well. I thought this might just be even like a collectible. Like, it definitely is aimed for younger kids, for sure. I could see me and my brother when we were kids, like, bringing this to like a mall or something and like setting it up in this like corner and having like an actual race in public. Like, I think it'd be really fun to do that. But at the same time, it's going to be difficult for them to capture that kind of rush that you get in Mario Kart, because obviously part of the fun there is the physics, you know, the how they tinker with that and, you know, flipping mm-hmm. upside down and jumping off of ramps and like all that stuff is going to be difficult here. But I still think this was a great idea and I could see it being a hit. I mean, who didn't buy an RC car at some point for Christmas? Like every other year I'd get a new RC car and this would definitely be the one that I would actually use rather than just have it sit and rot.
Yeah. Right. Now for me, I would not be able to do this because of my apartment. I've got carpet in most of the places. The only place I got a flat floor is my kitchen, which is incredibly small. So, like, this is not for me, but, like, once upon a time, I would totally use this in, like, my parents' house in their kitchen dining room, which is totally wood paneling. Maybe put in the laundry room just to see how it worked out. But, yeah, if I was, you know, 10, this would be my Christmas gift. You know, I was like, Mom, I totally need to get this! You know? So, I mean, that just, this is perfectly Nintendo. It comes out on October 16th, so I will give them this. Nintendo actually has stuff that is coming out this year.
Right.
So, October 16th, and it looks so simple yet elegant and a lot of fun, lots of reusability, all the more reason to play with friends and family. It's just perfectly Nintendo.
Yeah, it's just that sense that Nintendo always managed to capture that wonder, even though it has been 35 years since their initial release. It's just like there's always seems to have some sort of magic when it comes to Mario. Like, it doesn't matter how old we get or how young the fans get. It's just like they always seem to always manage to make something great with Mario, whether it be toys, cards, video games, or even like licensed products like shoes and all that. It just seems like everybody like, I need it. With that mentality, it's just really amazing. It's just amazing.
I mean, I would not be surprised if this is like a big hit, because I could totally see, especially with everything going on in the world, that this would just bring some joy to some young kids who just want to play Mario Kart with their friends live. And again, the technology is just—it's very impressive. So I hope it works. I hope they have like a toy line of sorts. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. Alright, then they announced that there's going to be a bunch of special events and such going across multiple platforms. There's going to be a Nintendo special My Nintendo events where you can earn like cool prizes by completing Mario stuff. There's going to be special stuff in Mario Kart Tour if you actually still play that. Have mercy if you do. it's still bad. There, as Tyler alluded to earlier, there's going to be a new line of Mario 35th anniversary apparel that you'll be able to get at the Nintendo store in New York, which is going to be reopening soon, and at store.nintendo.com, including a special Splatfest shirt that's going to be out, because in January, it sucks we have to wait, in January there's going to be Team Mushroom versus Team Star. So, that one's going to be interesting. I mean, I think I know what I'm going to go with, but this is going to be one of the more unique ones, because it's not a definitive one where it's like, oh yeah, you have to like one or the other. No, it's both are critical to the Mario fan base. So, that is going to be interesting.
And just briefly as well, like, remember that time we had the quote-unquote final Splatfest? This is actually a new Splatfest, so I can only imagine one, what the conversation is going to be between Pearl and Marina regarding to this new Splatfest, and two, are we going to get a new Shifty Station, because this is technically a new Splatfest.
Oh, then so yeah, absolutely.
Oh, they have to do a Mario themed Shifty Station. Yeah, how sweet
pipes,
would that be?
Everything. We got to have pipes.
Right? That would be so fun.
Maybe dress it like a Bowser's Castle kind of thing.
The creativity is spiraling now.
Hopes up. Now I'm already telling myself, maybe that's why they're waiting until January. They have to make this awesome Mario Splatfest stage. Just going to be like the generic Shifty Station.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to get your hopes up? Okay, Tyler, in honor of a game we're going to be talking about, they are going to go Super Mario Galaxy on this Shifty Station. All right, I'm talking about an observatory, zero gravity. There's going to be an Inkling dressed up like Rosalina. We're going to have the Lumas there, like raining down from above. It's going to be a special item and everything. Yeah, that is the Shifty Station we're going to get. You're welcome.
It sounds amazing. And Splatoon 2 really did take inspiration from Mario Galaxy on a lot of its actual single player designs.
Absolutely.
Those shirts are fire, by the way. I'm looking at them again now because I am so torn. I'm leaning Team Mushroom here on September 3rd. But like, I don't know. I think I like the Mushroom shirt more. I like the white background, but the star is fire as well.
I am in need of another Nintendo shirt. I'm using my Metroid 1 as my workout shirt, which means I wear it every day. But I could use another Mario shirt, so maybe I'll treat myself to an early Christmas gift or something.
Yeah, I was just like, I still have my Team Order shirt I got from Nintendo NY before COVID, and yeah, still sitting in my closet. So just looking at these great designs. I mean, yeah, the white background is good for summer weather, obviously, for the Mushroom shirt. But yeah, the Star shirt background, it's just so good. Like, these designs are pretty hot. These designs are hot, yeah.
So yeah, Nintendo is really bringing it with this anniversary, which we all appreciate in our own way. Also, there's going to be some special Super Mario-themed furniture in Animal Crossing New Horizons. So obviously your houses are all going to look very, very different very, very soon. You're going to have a keychain you can buy. There's going to be like shirts and dresses. Of course, there's the Mario Lego stuff. And of course, the original... we're going to get the original Super Mario All-Stars. They kind of worded this weird, but it's going to be on the online store.
It's currently available now. I just checked the shop.
Yeah.
It's currently available.
The original Super Mario games and the Lost Levels are all available via the Nintendo Switch Online collector store, whatever thing. So go and get that if you're interested. And then, as if that was not enough, we're getting Super Mario All-Stars 2. Except it's called Super Mario 3D All-Stars. It's going to be Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy. All of them have been slightly updated for the
slightly.
Yeah, it's very slight, but
it's worth saying slight four times.
Yes, slight. Uh-huh. Anyway, they have been slightly upgraded for their visual optimization. They have been optimized to work with the Joy-Cons, which is important, especially for Galaxy, which was originally meant for motion controls. And we want to call it glamorized versions of the classic Super Mario 3D titles. All three of them will be in one game, and that will be coming out this month. So I believe it's was it the 19th?
They're coming out the 18th.
18th, there you go.
I want to point something odd out, though. I just noticed this watching the trailer. So I haven't played Sunshine in a minute, but it looks like you have Mario has Flood on his back in the like, you know how there would be challenges where or Bowser Jr. would steal Flood from you?
Yeah.
Mario
has
Flood on his back in a lot of these.
I can clarify that because look, once you finish the initial level of when Bowser Jr. steals your Flood, it then becomes available afterwards in the later levels.
The
red coin challenges and all that. Once you're done with the normal one, the normal platformer, you get Flood for the red coin challenge.
Makes sense. Okay, I thought maybe they were adding like an easier mode because those were very difficult back in the day.
I remember.
So, but yeah, that was their major reveal. It is coming out this month, so it's three major Mario titles that you might not have played for a long time or at all.
And also extra detail as well, like they have the entire soundtrack of those three games included as well.
Yes. So
another extra bang for the buck as well.
So that's going to be very interesting. And then, but weirdly, if you want to talk about it now.
Yeah.
This too is a limited edition thing. For whatever reason, they are releasing it, but it's only going to be available until later or early next year, like March 31st, if it's the same as the Battle Royal. So that's kind of odd, because why would they make it a limited time thing when this could potentially be one of their perennial evergreens that just sells well consistently, like most Mario titles do? Why limit it? I mean, it's not like it's costing you money to keep it out there, theoretically.
No, it's not. It's one of the weirdest. I mean, leave it to Nintendo. This was such a beautiful celebration. All the stuff they had in there was unbelievably fun, I thought, and really creative. And then they put this, like, I mean, it's so anti-consumer, one, but it doesn't even make sense from Nintendo's standpoint. Like, this is a game that if you leave out, it will sell 10 million copies. Like, it will. I don't understand why they would. Yeah, the theory that I think makes the most sense is that maybe they're going to try to like re-release them as individual copies later. I don't know why they would do that, but it just doesn't make sense that you go through all the trouble of putting these on Switch and then you say you can only have it if you don't buy it in 6 months. Sorry, you don't get it anymore. That's so strange.
Yeah, that's the biggest caveat right there, because like The way I'm thinking is that, as you know, Nintendo, unfortunately, they're still very stingy with their licenses, especially Mario. So, I don't know, perhaps they want to go, like, we sell these things right now until the next Mario Day, which is March 31st. And, like, until then, we shall put it back into the vault, like, seal it up, and then, I don't know, maybe until the next Switch 2 or something of that sort comes down the line, we'll reopen the vault again and release it again. They kind of do something of a Disney strategy, if my guess is right. I feel it's just like releasing it right now for the time being, and then implement that whole fear of missing out mentality, put it back in the vault, and then, yeah, just, like, wait until the next season so they can just make more bang again. So that's just my theory, anyway.
Yeah, it's just a really weird choice, and I mean that doing the All Stars is perfect idea. I mean, it is. I do acknowledge it's a little weird they didn't have Galaxy 2 in there, but maybe
so
they just, yeah. I mean, like you made the sequel. I mean, it was a bestseller.
It was better than the original.
Debatable.
Some would say I actually like the original more, but most people I think like the sequel more.
I liked them both. I mean, don't get
they were
wrong.
Both great, but both I don't great. Understand why it's not in here.
Yeah.
They did it so dirty.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. It's one of them weird things, you know? So, we'll keep our eye on this. And of course, as with the Battle Royale thing, they could easily change their mind. They could easily say, like, oh, it's selling so well. Like, remember, like, the NES Mini and the SNES Mini, like they were supposed to be like limited time things, and then they started selling out like hotcakes. I was like, okay, we'll make some more.
Yeah,
So.
that's gotta be what happens here. I think I can't imagine that they don't circle back on this. And my thoughts on this aren't totally developed, but I am like I'm up to here with Shintaro Furukawa, the new president. Like I feel like Nintendo has made a series of poor decisions since he's taken over, and this is just the latest in a head scratching. What are they doing at Nintendo? I just, I could be wrong here. It's just I feel as though things have started to go downhill since he took over, and a decision this big doesn't not pass the president's desk. He approved this, and I just can't wrap my mind around what the thought is or why it's okay.
Yeah, it's curious to be sure.
Which of these games are you guys most excited? 'Cause, so I'm definitely getting this. I'm 100% getting this. I'm
Oh
getting the
yeah,
physical
definitely.
version. You're getting it too, right, Will?
Oh, definitely, because again, these things are like the quintessential of their generation. I mean, again, a lot of people argue again they didn't include Super Mario Galaxy 2, which okay, yes, because arguably that is the better game, but again, you can't have everything. Some arguments, but yeah, personally for me, like I'm getting this thing physical, no doubt, just because, like, yeah, aside from yes, it's gonna be limited production, basically a pre-order list, and again, these games are classic. Whether you got them for on the original N64 you still have, or wherever else, even if you have the like the Wii or anything, it's this game is worthy of your library.
I'm about 50-50 on when I'm going to get it, mainly because with how my life is right now, with all the work I've been doing, which, by the way, the reason we haven't done what have you been playing, we haven't played anything. All right, like I've been busy. I haven't played anything but Heroes. Tyler's the same way. I'm sure Will's been playing Fall Guys, and I'm tired of hearing about that.
Actually, I have another game which is basically we got a review code, but one of our colleagues is doing the review. But I'm playing Atlus's new game of 13 Aegis Rim 13 Sentinels, which another Vanillaware game, which is very beautiful. Yeah, I'll just keep it free, but yeah, that's one of the things as well. But it's a great game. It's
3D Mario
and yes, I
Bros.
want.
Will. 3D
I know,
Mario.
I know, I know, I know. We're on the Nintendo subject, I know, but I just want to give quick props to Vanillaware's new game. So that's it. Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, so like I anyway, but based on my busy schedule, which I'm being very honest about, I don't know if I will get it because I don't know if I'm gonna have time. Do I want to? Yeah, I never owned 64. I've played it in certain capacities. I think if my buddy Tyler had it, because I used to like just totally like go over to his house and play his N64 because I didn't have one. I was totally jealous restaurants. Moving on. So like, but and I never played Sunshine. I played the demo for Sunshine at my Toys R Us, rest in peace, but I never got to play it. Galaxy I obviously own, because by the Wii I was buying my own games.
Right.
So I might get it. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, would it be good? Because yes, this fulfills an itch I have to, like actually play games while I'm waiting for something new. And right now, all we have is ports coming. So, like, even these three ports, which are actually at least old-ish to where I would enjoy it. I don't know. It just depends on how things goes, but I would not be opposed to getting this. The thing I'm most excited about, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be a downer, but I'm not like a certain someone who posts the hype overload toad meme on in our Discord chat. I mean, was this a good direct? Yes, I'll acknowledge it was a good direct. I think if we're being completely objective, the thing I'm most excited for is the new Splatfest. I hate that I have to wait till January. But I'm excited for that one because I think that they will do a Mario themed shifty station, and I want a new fresh Splatfest because the rehashes are fine, but we've been there, done that. The only thing we need to do on the checkbox is do Love Money again, so we can finally put Tyler
Yes,
in
so
his
I can
place.
finally be justified.
Oh please, you're gonna lose again. Because don't forget, chicken came before the egg, and love over money. So, yeah. But honestly, overall, there wasn't like a game I'm very excited about because there just wasn't.
Well, be right. There wasn't a brand new Mario game coming. It's all old stuff or repackaged stuff with some new stuff built in. I
yeah,
think the
and
Splatfest is a good choice for the most
so
exciting
thank
thing.
you. Honestly, let's be honest with ourselves really quick. shouldn't they have announced something brand new?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I get it. It's, you know, it's a celebration. But part of a celebration is looking forward. And right now, the only thing we have to look forward to is a Mario port with extra content in 2021. Like, this would have been the perfect time for the first true 2D Switch Mario, because we've had the 3D version with Odyssey. We do not have a Switch 2D Mario game. Okay, outside of, like, Super Mario Maker, which I don't count. I don't count Mario Maker 2, because that's a construction game that's not a pure Mario title, all right? I'm talking a pure, brand new Mario story. This would have been the perfect time to unveil it. And they didn't, and I do find that a little disappointing, especially since they used the last 4 minutes to play, like, just sound clips
right.
of all the other games. So,
I agree with you on that. I think they should have had a 2D game ready. I mean, 35 is, it's not 40, you know, it's not the 40th anniversary, it's the 35th. So I understand not, you know, totally shocking us with an Odyssey 2 or whatever, but I do think a new 2D game would have been nice. But I was excited by just about everything that they showed. For some reason, this really resonated with me. Like, I tweeted it out. Like, I was shockingly, like, honestly emotional during this. Just something about seeing Mario, 35 years, all the adventures. Like, I guess the memories come flooding back and the affinity that I have for this character. I was a little emotional about this. I thought they did a really nice job of hitting that nostalgia note. I'm most excited for the 3D collection. But I think the most interesting thing was this really scratched more of my collector's itch than anything else. I wanted everything they showed, but because I was like, oh, those shoes, those Puma shoes look sweet.
Wait, there were shoes? I didn't see
them. Yeah,
shoes.
They had Puma
Jaguar.
Shoes.
Yeah.
They looked like, I think they were Puma.
Okay, I gotta look at them. Was that in the part where they're doing all the
yes.
merch things? Okay, I'm gonna look at that up now. I do not remember
Legos,
the shoes.
They look
Legos,
a little like Sonic's Napoli. Shoes, honestly.
Yeah.
But they were sweet, and like, I don't know if I'd ever wear them. They're really colorful. Who am I kidding? I have no shame. I definitely wear them.
Yeah,
but they would also be just a cool thing to have, you know? Like, there was a lot of things I was like, dang, that would be a cool thing to have to celebrate Mario's 35th. So I don't know. I agree with you. I can't give this like an A+ because of that, the lack of a new brand new title and Galaxy 2 being completely snubbed. But I'd give this a B+. This was like so nice to finally have some Nintendo related thing that I walked away being excited about. Even though the limited time thing is just like the most, it's even dumber than the Paper Mario story we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to get to there. There will be hate. Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh gosh, I'm totally going to get those shoes.
You know how
they come out tomorrow.
Yeah, right? They're sweet.
A lot of these things are coming out or currently available right now, and like, you know how many sneakers gonna grab these shoes because these things gotta sell like hot.
Oh,
you thought
I'm
Jordan's
totally
gonna be hot
gonna
items? Come on, people are gonna get
these.
These
will
Mario
be my
shoes,
Air
like, no
Jordans. I have never owned a pair of Jordans, and I don't care. But these will be my Jordans. Like, is this gonna be on the Nintendo store or the shoes?
I think it's at the Puma stores themselves. So I'm pretty sure like general shoe stores. I'm guessing.
Okay.
Like that. But no doubt about these getting a big hot. Like,
oh,
Nike,
I'm totally gonna get those shoes.
Yeah,
shoes. Gotta be the shoes, man. That's a Last Dance reference. Is that right, Spike Lee? I'm doing work. So.
And yeah, just as a recap for me as well, like personally for me, I definitely give this thing a good solid 8 out of 10. We've been so thirsty for a first party Nintendo effect for so long, like, and Mario is pretty much was the best thing they could have done currently right now, especially with the current circumstance we're given right now, and just like seeing all this thing. Again, like I'm pretty much with you, Tyler. Like the whole limited release window for certain titles and games. Like, yeah, Nintendo. What is that? Just what is that? And of course, like there's certain titles like Super Mario Galaxy 2 being omitted. But what can you do? But who knows? Maybe they'll release it down the line. Maybe. So, but overall, like yeah, again, the toys, the collaborations, just like really. Like pouring on the Mario love, and of course, also funny enough as well, Charles Martinet, the voice actor of Mario, finally got verified on Twitter about bloody time. So just like how much Mario love is supposed to pour into direct, it was a solid direct. So personally, I get it 8 out of 10.
All right. Well, the big question now is, of course, Are we going to get yet another Direct next week?
No, I say no. I think we're waiting till the end of September and we'll get another partner showcase.
Oh, boy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we had the indie, then we had the partners, then we had the Marios. I don't know what to expect anymore. Nintendo is just doing its own thing and trying to be Nintendo. I don't know.
We next year is Zelda's 35th anniversary.
This is true.
I wonder what they'll do for that.
Well, the rumor is, of course, they're going to either do a remaster of a past title and then release Breath of the Wild 2, but obviously we can't confirm that because it's Breath of the Wild and they're not going to want to release that until it's absolutely perfect. So, which we all know the first one wasn't, and you all know why. Lightning, it sucks. I hate getting caught in those lightning storms. All right. Oh, and the weapon's breaking too. That was stupid. But the lightning, it was always lightning. Why? Why was it always lightning? Monsters. Calm me down. But yeah, like I would expect a direct like this next year for Zelda of something. Something. We shall see. All right. So. We're going to head right now into the news because there were some interesting things outside of the Nintendo Direct. So let's get right to it. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right. So I want to start off with something that's very near and dear to my heart, Samurai Jack. Now, if you actually listened to the podcast last week, Glares of Tyler, you'll recall that I talked about my review of Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. And I noted that it wasn't the best game ever. It did have a lot of things that were impressive, but overall, it kind of fell flat. So I'm doing my thing and just going on these websites, and all of a sudden I see an article on another website stating, alternate ending to Samurai Jack found in game. I'm like, well, what do you mean? So, to recall, Samurai Jack Battle Through Time happened within the series finale of the animated series. It is a technically canon game that happens within the final minutes of the show. And so, the ending of the main game, of the original, of the title itself, you just play it through, you're going to have a abridged ending that they showed in the series finale. Basically, Aku dies. Spoilers. And it's not spoilers. If you don't know by now, you don't deserve to play this game. And then, you know, Ashi and Jack hug it out and the show is over. Apparently, though, they have an extended ending that is a direct contradiction to the original show. So allow me to give you the abridged version. In season 5 of Samurai Jack, Jack is 50 years older. Time has no effect on him. He's lost his sword. And as he finds out, Aku has 7 daughters, because of course he does. And he kills 6 of them, befriends, and then falls in love with the 7th, because of course he does. And together they fight Aku. Ashi, that's the daughter's name who lives, realizes she has Aku's powers in full, so she uses the time-traveling powers to send Jack back to the past, to the moment Aku banished him in the first place, so that Aku dies. Aku does die, and they decide to get married, but because of the plot device that it is, Ashi dies on the way to the altar to marry Jack. Because if you're thinking, wait a minute, if Aku is dead, then how is Ashi alive? Exactly. But of course, they can't have that happen 5 minutes after Aku dies. They have to do it right during the wedding because of emotion. Ratings! Terrible writing. And so the ending of the show is literally Jack alone, depressed, and he sees a ladybug, which is a symbol of Ashi from the season, and then he sees the spring in Japan, and it brings him hope for the future. And that's how the show ended. And I, along with many Samurai Jack fans, were not happy with that ending because A, Jack really didn't get to be happy at the end, B, Aku technically won because he took his love away, and C, that was just incredibly depressing. Totally depressing. So then you're like, well, what's the alternate ending? Well, in the game, somehow, a lot of people think it's like 100% difficulty on the maximum difficulty setting. I don't know. No one really knew. But what happens is that they show the wedding, but then they cut out before Ashi dies. And they cut to the scene where Jack is alone and slightly depressed. the ladybug shows up, and then Aashi is right next to him. They both smile and hug, and then the spring scene happens. I almost said Springsteen, which would have been just as cool. Just saying. Springsteen, Samurai Jack, you know it. But that was the alternate ending, and fans were like, this was the ending we deserved! Because endings matter. I mean, think of Game of Thrones, think of Lost, think of every Dexter, think of every great show that had a good run-up but failed to stick the landing. Samurai Jack was basically that. And yet this alternate ending, which was in a game that came out 3 years later, had the ending fans wanted. That's kind of funny, really.
I mean, again, I'm not really much of the Samurai Jack fan, but yeah, it's just kind of weird of like how the creators of the game want to like put in this extra secret ending in their game. So kind of like, it's kind of like in a similar to Capcom, but like how they like locked it, the true ending, quote unquote, under a paywall, something of that sort.
Yeah, you said that this was this written by the original writers? It was, right?
Yeah, well, here's the twist. So some people looked at this ending and was like, well, wait a minute, is this just the creator, Gennady Tarasikovsky, however you say the name, it's a really complicated name for some reason, did he do it just to placate the fans? Apparently, no. In the original show, the season 5, they had a storyboard ending written out where the gods who gives Jack back his sword, long story, resurrect Aashi as kind of a reward slash payment for killing Aku. And so that was one of the endings that they proposed, but then they did the original ending instead. So this was kind of like a curtailed version of that. So yes, this was created by the original Jack creator. And so it's kind of seen as like, yeah, it was for the fans, but also this is also one way that this could have happened. Take your pick.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm sure a lot of fans are really happy because now they can say that they have the ending that they want. But at the same time, it almost shatters the illusion that the whole show isn't, you know, put together in a writer's room. Because now you're like, okay, wait, you know, which one is it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a complicated thing. Because, again, when I actually re-looked over my review of Samurai Jack after I found out about the alternate ending, and I noticed, like, yeah, that ending makes no sense because the moment that Aku died, Aashi should have gone with him. But no, they dragged it out to eternity. Oh, she dies on the way to the altar. Are you kidding me? Like, and you know that days / weeks have passed by because of the certain people that show up at the wedding in tribute to Samurai Jack. So, again, she doesn't die in all the days leading up to this wedding. No, she dies on the way to the altar. That was so... That's bad writing, and I love Samurai Jack, but that's bad writing. And I never liked
bad writing.
I never liked that Jack and Aashi were together because he's 75 technically in the show by season 5. Because again, 50 years have passed. Aashi at best is 20, like she's young, and yet they do like the most awkward they fall in love story ever. Like they literally have an episode. I kid you not. Where Aashi, she makes her own outfit during one episode. It's actually really nice. But then it gets shredded in an episode, and she's fighting naked. Jack gets embarrassed and gives him her like his overcoat, because, of course, he has a garb under it. And he's like, and she's like, why are you acting this way? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Me? Embarrassed? No. I'm like, oh, gosh, make it stop. It was so awkward. I hated it. I still hate it all these years later. It should have been a father-daughter thing, not a I love you situation. It was so bad. I hated it. And but am I happy for this ending? Yeah, sure, because it makes it more meaningful and Jack gets that happy ending more or less, but I still don't like the relationship. All right. I still don't like it. It's awful. But I'm happy that we had the ending because and someone had to find it. Like, again, no one really knows how they got the ending. Someone just posted it online. So clearly it was like some special route or perfection run that you had to do to get this ending. So they really buried this deep. So props to them. All right. Enough of the happy stuff. Let's get to the infuriating stuff. Let's talk Paper Mario. Yeah, we've all been waiting for this. All right, so if you recall, over the last couple months, including before and after the release of Paper Mario the Origami King, the producer of the game, Kensuke Tanabe, had been doing a string of interviews to talk about the game, creative process, what all goes into it, and blah, blah, and blah. And every new interview that came out, we got more and more frustrated. Because we found out that the producer, Kensuke Tanabe, wanted to basically reinvent the franchise every single game. He wanted to have a new battle system every single game. That he felt like the RPG classics like Thousand Year Door and the original were stagnant, and if they kept using it, then it wouldn't be the same. And then in recent interviews, he said multiple things. One that ticks off Tyler in a little bit, and one that really ticks off me. The first one is that Mr. Miyamoto, is no longer a major part of the franchise. If you recall, after Super Paper Mario, Miyamoto was the reason that they did Sticker Star the way they did. Because they said, no, you gotta change it up, you gotta make it fresh, blah, blah, blah. And we all know how that turned out. Well, nowadays, he comes in, he might check on the game occasionally, but he doesn't, guide the game, which is fine. We all appreciate that. But then a question of, then how does it end up like it is comes to mind. And then my favorite, or sorry, I say least favorite one was during an interview, he said, quote, "I'm not opposed to fans' opinions. However, I view my game development philosophy as separate from that. If we use the same gameplay system wanted by the fans again and again and again, we wouldn't be able to surprise them or deliver new gameplay experiences. We always try our best to exceed expectations in surprising ways. At the same time, there's no guarantee that we'll always succeed in doing that, so it's a real challenge," end quote. There is so much wrong with that.
There really is.
There is.
I want to put one more point in, and that was on the Miyamoto front. Tanabe said that all character designs have to pass a check by their IP team, which is pretty strict. So that's why they're not allowed to come up with, different character designs, and they have to use Toads. He said, "Nonetheless, we were allowed to change the outfits of some Toads in this game." So it sounds like they made a little bit of progress. We're going to blast Tanabe, and for good reason. But yeah. I will say on that front, it sounds like he's at least fighting them. Because the way that reads to me sounds like he's pushing for that. Nonetheless, makes it sound like, they were telling us this, but nonetheless, we were allowed to change the outfits of some Toads in this game. I hope that they are able to break down that asinine rule.
It's yeah. Bad. Go ahead, Will.
It's definitely kind of just wondering what the heck is regarding to... Again, the whole creative process, as you said, Ty, the whole, have to resubmit it to the original IP owners, developers, it's just okay, so was that the reason why is only just that one exception back during Thousand Year Door? And, if this is progress, is good, but also at the same time, I can't help but wonder, is it really under their direction, or is it just because, again, we as the fans been craving something different aside from just the typical standard Toads. We want something that, again, that really resonated with us that since the Thousand Year Door days. But now just ever since then, it just kind of fell apart aside from the whole Super Mario. It's just so much to wonder about. What is happening in that team? Is there really a lot of that disagreement that's happening in behind the scenes? Or is it or just they don't want to. It's just a lot of things just comes up to mind when wondering what is happening behind the scenes.
So this is probably gonna take a while, but I'll do my best to keep it short. I was mad about this when I heard that he said that, my game design philosophy is that I need to reinvent things all the time and I don't want things getting stagnant. And I've ripped that apart. And I'll rip it apart again, but I wanna focus on this. He says, "I'm not opposed to the fans' opinions. However, I view my game development philosophy as separate from that." That is insulting. Because you literally just said, "I don't mind hearing, fans' opinions, but I don't, but my philosophy is beyond that." That's the opposite of how it should be. Now, yes, we've acknowledged in the past that fans' opinions shouldn't account for everything, but they should account for a lot, especially when it comes to a franchise that has either been doing badly, like Paper Mario has. Now, yes, Origami King more than likely is going to get a million sold or whatever based on reports we've seen. That's honestly not the point here. The point here is that we look at other franchises. We look at... I'll go back to Mario. Look what happened with Sunshine. It was not the best game ever, and fans felt that it wasn't as real as it could have been. And what happened next? We got Super Mario Galaxy, one of the best-reviewed games of all time, one of the best-selling games of all time, etc., etc. And look at Metroid. We had the absolute abomination of Federation Force, and we raged against the machine, and now we're getting Metroid Prime 4. Eventually. But, and then even, like, something like Zelda. You know, we've had, they've had missteps, like Triforce Heroes, and some, like Tyler, didn't like everything that they did with Skyward Sword. And what was the next one? They took their time, they went all out, and they made Breath of the Wild. And now with Paper Mario, we've had multiple titles where they've tried to reinvent, they have tried to surpass expectations, and, you know, wow us, and they failed. Or they mostly failed. Or they failed a vast majority of the people. Again, Color Splash sold less than 200,000 lifetime, all right? That's not good. And he's saying, like, I'm trying to, you know, surpass expectations and reinvent things. And what was that line? If we use the same gameplay system wanted by the fans and again, we wouldn't be able to surprise them or deliver new gameplay experiences. That's a lie!
Right. That's my biggest issue. That sentence is my biggest problem with the whole thing. Because if you can't come up with a way to surprise fans through other means besides changing the battle system... you're not doing a good job. You're not a good game developer. Yeah. And I know Tanabe, I'm sure he's very talented. I loved Origami King. But if you're saying, you know, there's no other way to surprise fans outside of coming up with an entirely new battle system. No, there are tons of ways that Thousand Year Door surprised fans who played the original game. It was, for one, the expanded story was something that people didn't expect from Mario game. The original game had a nice little story, but it was pretty straightforward. It was Save the Princess. Thousand Year Door... that was a totally different thing, and it was surprising and new to Nintendo fans. The characters were the same way. There are so many ways that you can surprise people. You don't have to change the battle system. And Tanabe, like, one, he really just needs to, like, shut his mouth. He keeps doing these interviews, and he keeps making it worse. But in one of them, he acknowledged that he's criticized for this and that he sort of missed the mark on the battle system in this game.
Yep.
And it's like, you know what? How you could have played it. You know which ways you wouldn't have missed the mark is if you used the classic battle system.
Yeah.
Because Origami King's writing is great. The story is actually pretty good. There's the worlds are beautiful. If it had the normal battle system, it would be close to the originals.
Yeah,
like,
and I would have bought it instantly because I knew that would have, and not just me, but a lot of people who were like, this battle system just doesn't look good. And like we've noted, Tyler, he loved the battle system. Our guy Henry, who reviewed the game, not so much. And that was kind of the consensus over a lot of reviews, is that open world was great. Open-ish world was great. Visuals, dialogue, the feel of the Paper Mario thing. But then when you get to the battle system, you either loved it or you hated it. And that's not a good middle ground.
Yeah, for a lot of people, they liked it in the beginning and then it wore old down the stretch too. That was a common one, that people are saying the game is too long, and it's not a long game, it's like a 25-hour game. If that's too long, you know, there's something wrong with the battle system. You know, the people are running away from fights again. You know, there's something wrong with the battle system. Did you guys talk last week about how experience points were found in the code for the game?
We did not.
Go ahead. Originally, somebody was looking at the code for the game. It's not hidden. It's not encrypted or anything. There is a blank space for experience points after you clear a battle. And it never goes up in value, but it's there. They were originally, I mean, that's proof that they were originally at least considering putting at least an experience point system in there. And they decided against that. And you just, you wonder why. And progression and, like, character growth is... It's even though they haven't done it for so long, it's still a core of what Paper Mario is.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's not like you can't they're oversimplifying it. You know, you could surprise people by adding new systems in, that the new ways to use experience points instead of just flower points, badge points, and HP. You could add something else in. Like, there's so many different ways to surprise people than just saying we're upending the system every single time. Because of course you're going to hit clunkers along the way, like they have the past three games.
Yep. And then here's the other thing. He says that if we use the battle system fans want over and over again, we can't surprise them. That's a lie for two franchise reasons: Mario and Pokemon. All right, and I mean, look at Mario in the objective platforming sense. What is different in every single game? The items. That's it. Mario still jumps. You jump on Koopas and Goombas to kill them. You can't jump on fire. The spike shells are all of them, and you get special items to make things a little bit different. Oh, and you have a different layout in the levels. That's it. That is all the innovation you get in a Mario game, outside of maybe something like Odyssey. But it's not a lot. They do simple things to change up the monotony, and it works. And then Pokemon is still RPG battle system, four moves a piece, and then they add something special in each variation to make it different, whether it be Z moves, whether it be the double battles, whether it be Dynamax or Gigantamax. It's the subtle things, but if you strip that all away, the core is still there. It's the simplest things that make innovation, and that's what we're asking for. We don't need an overhaul. We just need something unique. Like I said, I think about a month ago, hey, let's do partner tag team attacks. That would be awesome. Each one has a different special attack that they can do with Mario. That's never been in the Paper Mario games. And it would be something really cool, and obviously add new strategy elements. That's it. And boom, there's your new game right there. It's not that hard. And then going back to your point, Tyler, of the differences between the original and Thousand Year Door, if you look at the actual paper elements of the original game, it was very tame versus Thousand Year Door, where they amplified it, where it's like, oh, you can change it to a paper airplane. Oh, you can roll up into a ball. Oh, you can crunch yourself and then spring up to the top of an area or something like that. And on and on and on. And in Origami King, they did like the origami fold with the arms. I liked that idea. That opens up new puzzle elements. And that's the kind of innovation you can add to make the game feel different. It's not that hard, but he's treating it like, I cannot possibly think of a way to revolutionize this RPG system, then go back to game design school, which, by the way, I went to. So I have a degree in video game development. You're welcome. So, like, that just infuriates me. And then something we didn't get to was that, and also one of the interviews, he noted that they were trying to restrict the RPG features because of the Mario and Luigi RPG series. But I debunk that instantly because they haven't had a game since Paper Jam. And no, I'm not counting the remakes. Those are not new titles.
Right, right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you're fighting, quote-unquote, against a franchise that's not alive right now. You're ignoring the fans because of your game design philosophy, which is a 50-50 at best, and I'm being generous here, and you think that you're helping us in being innovative when all you're doing is just making things all the more stupid and weird, and it's getting you flack. And like Tyler says, you're digging yourself a really big hole, and I'm honestly hoping you keep digging, because eventually Nintendo will be like, let's just replace this guy, okay? So, I'm available, by the way. So, for me and Tyler, and again, me and Tyler disagree on what Origami King is and its quality, but we both agree that we want the RPG style back. We want a second Thousand Year Door or something along those lines, because that would save the franchise long term. Whereas Tanabe is just trying to reinvent the wheel over and over and over again, and there are so many ways, only so many ways you can do that without completely alienating fans, which Nintendo knows all about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, here's another variation. You're just thinking of all the different, that creativity point or the surprise point is infuriating. But the Thousandfold Arms, as you said, were a cool add. And in those boss battles, actually using the Thousandfold Arms was one of the most satisfying elements of the games. So it's like some of the stuff that he puts in is definitely good, but that doesn't excuse the philosophy. The philosophy is so flawed, and it's taken from Miyamoto. He said he's taken this philosophy from Miyamoto. Miyamoto was his role model, and I just, you know, I don't get it. That's what gets you Star Fox Zero. It's just you can't. Yeah. I don't understand why that's a thing. And it's so strange because Mario Galaxy, one of my favorite games of all time, the only thing that thing does different than 64 is change the physics a little bit, you know? And it's amazing. It's surprising. It's delighting. Mario Galaxy 2, one of the best games ever made. They added Yoshi to a few levels, but it was still a surprising and delightful experience because the levels were so well made. People love that stuff. Yeah, ridiculous.
And then even look at Odyssey. You know, it's like, oh, what's different? Cappy. And you don't use Cappy all the time. So it's still just you wandering around an open world, which you've done in Galaxy, which you've done in Sunshine, which you've done in 64. You know, you go, you know, up in the air, you go under the water, you can occasionally transform into things, which is awesome. But it's not, you know, it's not everything. You're not doing it constantly. If you strip it, like I said with Pokemon, if you strip it away, the core is still there. And that's what it is. It's a platformer that you have fun with, and that's really cool. But it's still that core game. It's just with a few innovations. And if you can't think of a few innovations for an RPG, you need to either watch or look at, play other RPGs, or, oh, I don't know, look at Pokemon.
I probably need any more ideas. I can even look at your own competitors as well. I mean, like, look at what the industry is currently doing at right now. I mean, heck, I know that Square Enix, even though I haven't been touching on the RPG scene in a long time. Again, they have done some pretty good things with, like, I don't know, Final Fantasy VII Remake. And, of course, naturally, there's Atlus you can also view over, because, again, with Persona, Shin Megami Tensei, I mean, heck, they have been pretty much clinching the RPG market for a long time now. And, of course, naturally, there's Bandai Namco with the Tales series. There's, like, there are plenty of competitors out there you can definitely get some influence from. Like, they definitely have some good ideas to offer, and perhaps it can spark some sort of inspiration to, like, give your own taste for to add on to Mario RPGs. Like, I can only imagine how much if they put it, like, a Persona system inside a Mario RPG, which that's a crazy idea, but it could possibly work. Who knows? So yeah, just the fact that, like, he just can't say, like, not to try to stay away from that is just, yeah, it's just, like, it's baffling. It's just baffling.
Oh, and I literally just thought of another idea off the top of my head. What if the story of the next Paper Mario game had to involve, like, paper animal spirits? And every time that Mario saves one of them, he can transform into them in battle for a limited time. Like, giving him new attacks and abilities, but you can only use it, like, once per battle or whatever.
Somebody didn't play Origami King.
Oh, he can actually transform into animal spirits?
Yeah. Well, really? Mario doesn't, but Olivia does.
Yeah, Olivia does turn into the four the elemental guardians is in Chinese lore as well. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, still
good idea though.
Not the same though, because I said Mario, not Olivia. Totally different. I win. But it just frustrates us because we want this franchise to do well, and yet this producer, as talented as I'm sure he is, he's trying to, like, alienate us either intentionally or unintentionally, and it sucks. We'll just have to see. And I'm sure if / when the Origami King gets over 1 million, he'll say, oh, this is proof that I was right. No, it's proof that the Switch has enough people that they'll actually buy the game, which is obviously the opposite of what happened with the Wii U.
The feedback has been loud, and it's clearly getting to him if he's continuing to do all of these interviews.
True. And he's just repeating himself. Like, we got some new information, but he said the battle line before, and it's just like, I'm telling you, we're not going to do it. But I don't mind hearing your opinions, but we're not going to do it. So, I don't know. All right, deep breath. We're moving on. Because a surprise game announcement happened last week. We are going to get, we as in the Switch users, are going to get Lord of the Rings Gollum, which was originally scheduled to be a totally next-gen, as in PS5 and Xbox Series X, next year. But now the current-gen, I guess you can call it, systems are going to get the game. And that's actually pretty cool. Isn't this the first Lord of the Rings game on Switch? I think.
Probably on Switch. I would think there's a Lego Lord of the Rings on a Nintendo console somewhere. I have no idea if that's a thing or not, but I'd imagine it's a thing.
It is. Oh, yeah. But just like, this is supposed to be like a Prince of Persia style action adventure stealth game, because, you know, Gollum's not a fighter. He's very stealthy. Process. So that I just found that interesting, because like, it came out of nowhere. It was like, oh, it's coming to Switch. I'm like, wait, really? So, of course, I fear for the graphical drop, because it was built for next gen systems, and now they're saying, oh yeah, we'll bring it to current gen. What could go wrong? So many things.
Plenty can go wrong. And like, again, like there are some good Lord of the Rings thing. I mean, you can look at Shadow of Mordor. That thing was a solid good game, if you can disregard the whole microtransaction thing. But yeah, Shadow of Mordor is a very good game for the license. But and here's hoping like they won't screw up with Gollum. But again, as with all things licensed, you never know. So it could be that exception case. Who knows? Who knows?
Oh boy. All right. Well, moving on. See, the news is honestly kind of small, but we're blazing through. This was a very curious one. There was a leak the other day that there was a portable GameCube model as a successor to the GameCube that was supposed to come out that Nintendo was researching, but it never happened. Tyler, you had more on this.
Yeah, so this came out, I think today, actually, that as far back as the end of the GameCube's era, Nintendo was actually trying to develop a portable GameCube console that you could dock. It's interesting because the GameCube is obviously a home console already, but it's cool to see that the Switch, the idea behind it goes this far back, and the GameCube had a handle. People forget the GameCube was already thinking about portability by letting you carry this thing around. I'm curious to see if there's going to be more that comes out about this, because it was part of a leak and it was just sort of like a, hey, this is a cool little blurb, but it's definitely a story that I'm going to keep my eye on, because I love behind the scenes stories like that.
Yeah, like to know the fact that GameCube was supposed to be like a docked to the point, like, yeah, like I saw some of the screenshot images, and it's, who would have thought like they had that kind of prototype idea back then? Because like, again, the GameCube era was like, it was pretty solid as it is. I mean, again, going into CDs, the micro CDs, and then perhaps going on to that whole dock system. Like, I don't know, it's something similar. I'm getting reminded images of like the whole Sega Genesis with the whole extra add-on pack and all that. But yeah, just like seeing all these like the R&D ideas happening for these systems. Like, what, as I said, all these ideas eventually accumulated to the Switch. So what else were they hoping for? Like on, like, I don't know, the Wii system, the Wii U, like what else? What was just basically happening behind in R&D? I wonder. Yeah.
And so it's always curious when you see like these leaked plans and the stuff that, like the what ifs, like what if, you know, Sony and Nintendo hadn't split off and they kept going with the Nintendo systems instead of making the PlayStation and such, and what would have happened if the Kinect didn't suck? Hey, it was great for Just Dance. Not much else, but you know, it's the little things, and this blew my mind, because when I first read it, I thought that they were doing a GameCube Mini, and then Tyler's like, no, they were making a sequel to the GameCube. It was going to be portable like the Switch was. I'm like, oh, see, they were way ahead of their time, literally decades ago. So I had to pause for a second. I'm like, is it decades? Technically, yeah, 21 and 2001 is when the GameCube came out. So. Like that, it's Nintendo has always been forward thinking. Like, this is what makes them so great at times, and so that's really cool to hear that they were already thinking about a portable system all the way back then. I wonder.
It's just like, you can only imagine how it is regarding to like these systems. I mean, Nintendo under the late Satoru Iwata's leadership is just like. Again, it's just all that innovativeness, like that whole idea from the, again, so we were all blown away with the whole Wii prototype of Revolution. So like, perhaps that was kind of the idea for that, like keeping that portability up. And again, it's always so interesting to like just read these ideas in R&D. So I can only imagine like what was the idea when, I don't know, designing the initial Switch prototype. It's always kind of curious.
All right, and finally, in a news story that Tyler is fuming about in certain ways, Daddy Sakurai has made a reveal that they were going to do certain kinds of improvements to the matchmaking and internet system of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but featuring netcode, but wasn't going well. Now, Tyler, did you actually read the article I sent?
Yes, I did.
Then take it away.
Yeah, so yeah, Smash Ultimate's online is notoriously subpar, and Sakurai basically was explaining the ways that he had tried to approach the problem. And it seems like one of the biggest problems is the Switch's portability leads to a lot of players playing on Wi-Fi rather than using an actual cable. But Sakurai says he's tried to use this rollback system that fans have been clamoring for a while now. And I didn't understand what rollback was, so I looked into it a little bit. And essentially what it is when you're playing the game, it's actually recording what you're doing. So what you're seeing on screen is actually an echo, what you've already done. But sometimes the two, if depending on how your Wi-Fi connection is, you might desync with your opponent. So your opponent might be ahead of you in the recording, so to speak, which would screw up your gameplay, obviously. So what rollback does is it actually takes that person's future and just keeps bringing them back to where they were previously, to where they line up with you. So that way it feels like, you know, you're on the same wavelength. That is my untechnical answer. I am not a technician. Don't ask me any questions. But that is that's the idea behind it. Sakurai said he tried this. But during development, they looked into it, but unfortunately, the side effects were too big. Now, I didn't clarify what the side effects were. So I'm not 100%.
Like
right, exactly. It does sound like a medical commercial. So I'm not sure exactly what the side effects are. But it, at least they looked into it. And I trust Sakurai. He's earned my trust. I'm sure whatever these alleged side effects are were probably pretty game-breaking. So there you have it.
I kind of wish that we had definitely have one of our fighting experts here on the podcast, like with Keith or someone else. But yeah, like arguably, like Robot Nicole is arguably one of the best features for fighting games, because again, the last thing you need is to like fight against a person that's like lagging like 5 frames a second. Like I believe like we had this experience before back during the BlazBlue cross tag battle days, but our Wi-Fi had no problems because like it eventually smoothed itself out. Like, if you recall, yes, Todd, back during the BB tag days.
Yeah, like though it was spotty at times, but yeah, it wasn't the best.
Mm-mm-mm, right. Yeah, so it could be obviously improved. So yeah, rollback netcode is definitely the preferred way to play online in fighting games, and I believe yeah, the next game of Guilty Gear Strive will include rollback netcodes. So here that Sakurai was tampering and says like unfortunately there was problems with implementing robot netcode for Smash Brothers, I guess one reason I can think of is like because as you know the game itself, like even though it's like on Switch models, it's still it runs pretty hard. I'm not sure like if you have any problems. Like last I hear my Switch, sometimes it can get a little bit noisy, and of course they have to go and process all this thing from the stages, graphics, yada yada, items, all these things, of course. So I wonder if that probably would have factored into like the whole issues of rollback netcode, because again, generally with fighting games, you don't have items per se, and Smash Brothers is generally a party game, not a fighting game, quote unquote. But again, that debate's been
we've already debated this.
So this game perhaps like the whole items and everything else maybe was the reason for that. That's just my guess, but yeah, I can only imagine how it would be if Smash Bros. Would have had rollback netcode. But again, we can only imagine in another timeline.
And also in that talk about the netcode, he did confirm that Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has indeed passed 20 million units sold, which if you recall the Q1, it was like at 19.95. I'm like, come on, it's round up. So yes, it has passed 20 million, and it was already the best-selling fighting game of all time. But now it's basically the 24/5 game that happened in MLB the other day. It's just cementing things. It's just like, we know you're dead. We're just gonna keep going though. I mean, why stop now, right? Why stop? I mean, so yeah, that was very successful. And then to end the show, because we're not gonna do a main event. You notice how we haven't had any Smash Brothers announcements?
Yes. So there was a big theory going around because they didn't announce the Spirit event or the weekly tournament that we were going to get something. So I was kind of like tuned in, but I think that was just because the Mario announcements were incoming.
And they did have a Mario themed like Nintendo or Smash Brothers tournament announcement in there. So
yes, they did.
So yeah, but we need a Smash Brothers announcement soon, because like, when did Min Min come out? Wasn't that June?
Min Min came out in June. It's so weird though. It feels like Min Min hasn't been out or has been out for forever.
Yeah.
But at the same, like, we think about the when Violet came out, it was February. It's almost the same amount of wait time for the next character. It's crazy. They're really.
We're definitely in due for a new character, no doubt. If anything else, perhaps we'll get something in Tokyo Game Show or at the least Video Game Awards at December. So we're around that time.
So, I mean, they need an announcement soon, because I grant you that, you know, COVID has set things back, but they've had time to adjust. We know they were working on a character like when they announced Min Min, because remember the video we got in June was made like in April or early May. So they were already like finishing touches and working on the next character, and we were supposed to have all six characters by the end of next year at the absolute latest, which is looking like more and more of a possibility. So, like, given everything we've gone through recently, we've had the Indie Direct, the Partner Showcase, the Mario Direct, I wouldn't be surprised if they just did a warning challenger approaching thing and just said, hey, here's the next Smash Brothers character, it's coming out next week.
Yeah, I feel good about that prediction. The Shadow drop looks inevitable.
Wait, Shadow?
Oh, sorry, I gave it away.
Oh, and it's not like pure Shadow. It's Shadow the Hedgehog Shadow with the guns. So
Edgelord Shadow.
Yeah, there you go. God. My powers unlimited. I am the ultimate life force. Bang. So I don't know, but hopefully we will get a reveal soon, because I was just thinking about it. I was like, we really haven't heard anything, and especially now that, you know, Sakurai did his column again about the netcode. I'm like, okay, that's good, and now we had the milestone. Where's our next character? Where is the next character? Hopefully we'll find out soon.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler! We weren't here!
Guys,
go to the poll! Alright, so in lieu of the Mario Direct, I suggest a question that you proposed earlier for our poll, Tyler.
Yes.
What reveal are you most excited about in terms of Mario? Put the All-Stars 2, or the 3D All-Stars, put the Game & Watch system, Mario Kart Live Home Edition, and the Mario apparel.
Perfect.
Yeah, because I really am curious to see what people say, because I'm sure this is going to be pretty widespread. So yes, let us know, vote in our poll, and we'll let you know what you say next week. And of course, let us know just in general what you thought of the Mario Anniversary Direct. Did you feel that it did a good job of showcasing what's coming for Mario and friends? Are you going to get some of these items when they come out? Let us know. And of course, what do you think about the Samurai Jack alternate ending? What the latest talk from the Paper Mario producer? Are you okay with why Sakurai didn't do the netcode thing? And so on and so forth. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Terrari for Style. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of level. So, raise the flag!